Good evening. We are waiting for one commissioner who's in the back right now, and will be out soon. But I will say tonight is Monday, April 7th, 2014. This is the Planning Commission. Everybody, welcome here, please. And we will get going when Commissioner Solomon returns. Thank you. Okay, we're calling this to order, please, and let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the Republic.
To the Republic for which it stands.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right now, I'd like to open up the public forum to anybody in the public here that has got an item that is not on this agenda tonight to speak for 2 or 3 minutes. I do not see anybody raising their hands or the gentleman in the back here. Could you fill out if you're going to do this, could you fill out a speaker slip? You did? Okay. Thank you.
Did you want to speak on the item B tonight, the zoning ordinance? Oh, okay.
Anything not on the agenda tonight?
I don't think this issue is on
there. Great.
Great.
Mr. Dolly.
Dagley.
Dagley.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Nadir Dagley. I live in 840 Serenidad in Goleta. I would like to tell you briefly about an issue that has been bothering us for a while, bring it to your attention, and also ask for your consideration, possibly to put this onto the zoning ordinance. On our street, one of the owners has been renting his house as a vacation rental for over 3.5 years now. People come and go all the time, large numbers of people. I don't want to, bother you with all the details, all the disturbance, but this is something that very adversely affects us, our quality of life, as well as our property values. And we would like to see this issue addressed in the zoning code as we do it, because we believe that this is a commercial activity, what this person is doing. He is basically running something like an unlicensed, unregulated hotel. And we had dealings with the city. So far, we haven't reached a resolution. We are still talking. I have spoken with, communicated with Ms. Wells and Ms. Carmen, as well as other council members. But as I understand, there will be some regulation on things like the use issues in the second module of this process. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention, and we would like to, work with you, be part of the process, and then find a resolution to this. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, and I appreciate you taking time to let us know about that.
Okay,
thank you. Anyone else at this point? I'm going to close the public forum, and we're going to start with the rest of our agenda. Linda?
Thank you. Administrative amendments or adjustments?
No.
No.
None?
Item A on the administrative agenda is the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of March 24th, 2014.
I will call this. Does anybody have any discussions? Can I have a motion, please?
I move the minutes.
And I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I am absent that day. Linda?
Thank you. At first we should go back to the roll call. Chair Daniels.
I apologize.
Commissioner Dressler.
Here.
Commissioner Anand.
Here.
Commissioner West.
Here.
Vice Chair Solomon.
Here.
Chair Daniels.
Present.
Thank you. Item B is for discussion and action, the zoning ordinance project, Module 1, follow-up, and Module 2, preview.
Staff, Ms. Wells. Yes?
Yes. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners.
Please.
Thank you for this opportunity to bring forward a discussion about Module 1 that we talked about last month on March 10th, and then to give you a little bit of a preview on our next zoning ordinance module, which we're calling Module 2. Before I started, we just have a short PowerPoint, so it's not a long presentation. Mostly just wanted to take every opportunity that we can to have a touch point with you and to get any of your thoughts that you've had since the last meeting. But I wanted to say that we had our open house at 5 o'clock, and we had a good, solid showing, and we're always hoping for more and people. So for anyone that's listening, we're always encouraging folks to come to our open houses that we're going to have before our Planning Commission meetings, and kind of keep that as a theme for our future meetings with you. We received some really good feedback and some details that will help guide us in as we continue to work on the draft ordinance, which has not yet been released. Also, since we last met, we've put together a card. We've mailed a postcard out to a lot of addresses that just invites people and lets people know about GoletaZoning.com. So there's a big stack of them at the table in the foyer, and then they're spread out throughout the community as well. Just trying to get people to really use that forum to get information and to make sure that they're staying up and they know what meetings are coming up. We've also done some press releases letting people know about this meeting in the open house, and then also the meeting on April 28th where we're going to talk about Module 2, so that people have some foreknowledge of what it is that we're, not just the meeting, but also the content, a little bit about the content, so that they know if they care about permits, Module 1, if they really care about zone districts, Module 2. So with that, I'll just start. So the agenda, as we just said, was Module 1, which is the administration and permits portion of our regulations. We're just going to give you a short summary of that meeting and some of the things that we've been working on since then, and then the preview of Module 2, which is zone districts, and then we'll talk about the schedule. And our planning director, Jennifer Kerman, is here, and she's participating in this as well, because these are, you know, critical things that are coming down from the director. And I think especially as we talk about Module 1, some of the questions you might have, let's have this be as interactive as you are comfortable with for this presentation. So there's not a lot of slides, so feel free to pause us in the middle of the presentation. So when we consolidated our notes on Module 1, we broke them down into kind of six main categories. Not to say that that encompasses all of your comments, because it doesn't, but we kind of broke them out into these six groups for the main categories. The first one being the duties and roles of various planning authorities. And I know one of the big highlights was the zoning administrator, and because our zoning administrator now is our planning director, I'm going to let Jennifer talk to you about what the zoning administrator does now, what we're talking about for Module 1 changes about the zoning administrator, and then maybe some of the other planning authorities. So go ahead.
Well, right now, the zoning administrator has a significant number of things that they actually get to approve, lot line adjustments, some smaller permits, They're all, they usually have hearings. Sometimes they're not required to have hearings. What we want to do is standardize it. And I want to put in opportunities for the zoning administrator to elevate applications straight to the Planning Commission if there are controversies or issues with them. We've heard a lot from the public that they want whatever goes to the zoning administrator, if we do choose to have things go, have them be very small, like just above ministerial level. They want more things to come to the Planning Commission. Now, as you look at permit types and potential applications, you may decide that there are certain things that you may not want to see all the time. And maybe some of those minor exceptions, like fences, walls, little things, might be more appropriate for a level like that. And so the initial module, when it first came out, included things like variances at the zoning administrator level. I completely disagree with that. I believe, you know, variances have particular findings that need to be made under state law, and they should be through a public hearing in front of the Planning Commission. So that's one of the immediate changes that we made back to the consultant. And based on some of the public input, we're also pulling back some of that discussion and that role and making it more of the Planning Commission level. Dye and Bhatia does this with every ordinance that they do. The module development is part of the, I call it the gut check for the community. Let's throw some concepts out there, see how they're received, and if they're not received well, then we dial that back and make it more formal. And that's exactly what happened here. Zoning administrator was not well received, and so we will be dialing that back. There was also a lot of misunderstanding about in the community that there is already that process. And so one thing that we heard tonight during the open house, some of you came early but missed the conversation, was George Rellis brought up the idea of really focusing on what do we have now versus what we're proposing in the future. And I think that would have helped a lot during the zoning administrator discussion during the last meeting. And we're going to try and do that as we move forward through this process.
So the other item that we have been breaking down our public noticing requirements, the way we broke it out in our in the summary of the comments is mailed notices versus signs. And these are public noticing for projects. So it's how do we communicate to our public when there's a project in the city. And the way that that we mail out notices right now depends on whether a project's in the coastal zone or what we call the inland area. So not in the coastal zone, which kind of splits our city down the middle, sort of around the Hollister Avenue area. The way it is now is in the coastal zone, we send out mailed notices or trifold pieces of paper to the residents, so the occupants, within 100 feet of a project, and then within 300 feet of a project to the owners. Anyway, that's from the Coastal Act. So we're meeting the minimum requirements of what's in the Coastal Act. In the inland area, it's just 300 feet, and it's only to the owners. That's how it works today. And what we had discussed with the Planning Commission was something larger than that and something that standardized inland and coastal. So we're working through the pros and the cons of noticing and how it works and how accurate is it and all of those things. But we heard you loud and clear. More noticing is better, and reaching out to the public is better, and to be consistent in the inland and coastal area. And as far as signs go, we were talking about the yellow signs that you see out on the streets, and those are kind of we hear good things about it, we hear bad things about it, but we did talk for the larger projects that the signs are helpful, especially if they're along our major arterials. And then we talked about making sure that the sign ordinance includes exemptions for the yellow signs that are noticing projects. We also talked about the way we conduct hearings and how we receive public input. So a lot of our discussions were about public input, reaching out to our public, making sure that our regulations assure our public that they know about projects. in a timely and an efficient way. And so the way that the Module 1 was written, it had it addressed various circumstances of public speaking and whether or not there were large crowds and things like that. But it was clear that the Planning Commission wants everybody to have an opportunity to speak, which seems pretty reasonable. And then we talked about appeals procedure and whether or not the Planning Commission could be a final decision maker or whether or not everything can go to the City Council. And we're still tossing that around internally and different ways to write the regulation. So we heard you. We understand that there's different ways you can go with appeals, and we're working on that. And then we talked about Planning Commission study sessions, and it sounded like there was a positive reception from the Planning Commission about study sessions. And so we're looking at different ways we can fold that into Module 1 and have that work with other procedures. So that's something else that we heard you and the public talk about, the benefits of a study session or concept review, things like that. So switching over to,
if I could, Chair Daniels, if I could just ask Ms. Wells.
Yes, Commissioner.
On the one item number 3, public noticing requirements and signage, you mentioned a few things on the signage. I think Commissioner Solomon specifically on that signings was addressing sizes on some of the, you know, for instance, a larger project where they're trying to have a sign that can actually demonstrate what it is. You mentioned the yellow signs. Of course, they're small, and maybe that's a color issue, I'm not sure. But I think your comment, wasn't it specifically about size?
Earlier in the study session, I believe one of the participants said that the size of the sign should reflect the size of the project. And so if there's a very, very large project, then we should, in our ordinances, allow a very, very large sign, as you had pointed out, to show the public what's intended to go on there. I'm not sure that was captured here, is it?
Well, we did. That is in our notes, and that's something that we've been talking about, is the size of the sign, though that I heard that a little bit better. Right now, what we have been talking about, there's a lot. The planners have a lot of feedback about the signs and the maintenance of the signs and things like that. So, and the way that there's a lot of feedback we hear from the public too about liking the signs, not liking the signs. So we're working through that and trying to come to some kind of conclusion that can address as many of the concerns as possible.
Ms. Wells, let's not forget it has to be consistent with the sign committee and the sign ordinance, and that needs it to be looked at as well. Thank you.
Chair Daniels.
Yes, Commissioner.
Just one thing on the signs is that, you know, I see the yellow signs all the time, and I don't think I've ever been able to read one once from my car, for instance, even if I'm stopped and looking at it, and I adjust my glasses. And so I've had to, if I was really interested, I've had to exit my car and walk up to the sign to find out what the project was about. So I don't know if you can solve that problem, because maybe if I'm that interested, I should have to get out of my car and go look at the sign. But I'm just letting you know that's my feedback on the signs, that all they tell me is that there's a project going on or proposed at that location. And if I cared about it, I could look into it further. But the sign itself, unless you get very, very close to it, doesn't give you a lot of information.
Ms. Wells, Mayor, with respect to these signs that the commissioner was talking about, does staff have a protocol on who fills that out? You know, what kind of ink do we use? You know, just
yes, we do.
Just all that.
We do, and unfortunately, even though we do have a protocol, that ink fades. And as many of you have probably seen in the community, there are yellow signs out there that go out completely black marker that you might actually be able to see if you're driving slow enough. That within a month have faded to nothing. We don't know what happens. We think it's the plastic of the signs. So we are looking at different styles and techniques that we could use in order to make sure that that public notification on site is clear. We're also, depending on what size we end up with for the larger projects and how that plays out, we'll be looking at our sign ordinance and exempting those types of signs, so they wouldn't necessarily need to go to the sign committee. So we'd have to also have very strict standards in order to do that. But that's something that we're looking at for the future and the proposed code.
Thank you.
If I can add to that about the signs, we're not the only ones that are having this problem. You know, we didn't always have signs. That's relatively new. And so other cities are having the same issue. So we're talking it through with them, like Ms. Carmen said, the material of the signs and the type of Sharpie pen that you're using and, you know, things like that as a interim just to make the signs more readable as they are now while we're addressing this bigger issue of can people see them and read them and are they the right size and located in the right place and things like that.
But could you, Chair Daniels, just one other comment is we should probably make allowance for video type displays, not in the small applications, but in the larger applications or where appropriate. The video displays almost offset are more cost effective than perhaps these stationary signs, maintaining them over time. So I'm not sure what we have in our zoning code at this point, but that would maybe be beneficial.
That usually goes into the sign ordinance, but we could definitely talk about that for public notification. LED signage is a new sign type that raises a lot of concerns in the community. Right now, most communities, that falls under their animated signs, which are prohibited. But as the technology continues to improve, communities are allowing those, some as big as billboard types in larger cities. So it would be something that we'd look at as part of the overall sign ordinance.
Thank you.
Ms. Wells, did we get to the end of your discussion? You did modular two?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just checking. Do any of the commissioners have any other questions before we open up the public hearing?
Oh, no, I there's still some more signs left. We just finished module one.
Okay. So
Chair
no.
Daniels,
so the answer was no.
May I address staff with a question?
Please do.
Thank you.
I
just wanted to back up to the appeals procedures. There was, again, earlier, there was kind of a comment that went floating by about the fees. And I realized that I was, I'm very poorly educated about fees. And I just wondered if you would, in broad brushstrokes, sort of talk about how the fees might change or be affected by the new zoning ordinance?
We'll have an opportunity as part of the new zoning ordinance to adopt new fees. So because we're going to have new permit types and new procedures, and a fee schedule usually comes with that. Not necessarily at the same time, but very close to it. And the appeals, given the questions and comments that we've heard from the community on the appeals costs, that will more than likely also be part of that discussion. Right now, appeals fees are split into two, the cost for coming to Planning Commission and the cost for coming to Council. And the cost for going to a Council is large. I believe it's $2,000 or more. Council is $500, rough. I don't have the exact amounts. But that
Planning Commission,
that's what I mean, sorry. But that is something we'll want to look at. There was a long discussion about it. I want to say in 2008 or 9. I'm not really sure what this. I read the staff report, but I'm not sure what year that was.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So there was a discussion about it previously, which determined those fees because we the city is about full cost recovery for the most part. And I think that was why the fees were so high. Even being that high, they don't come close to full cost recovery. But there's a lot of discussion about whether or not they should be, whether or not that prohibits people from actually appealing a project, and so that will be part of whatever fee schedule comes forward.
Mm. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Ms. Wells, thank you.
So Module 2, which is on April 28th, Mr. Diet will be here, and you'll have your packet, your staff report packet, so you can take a look at it, but he's going to walk you through it in detail. We're going to talk about districting framework. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of words on this slide, but I think the gist of it is we're talking organized presentation that is in a friendly form, meaning you can look at it and kind of understand these measurements in a visual and tabular format. So it's not just in words the way it is now in our regulations, but this way it can appeal to the different people in a different way people comprehend information. So simple graphics, and the structure of it is also with the tables a little bit similar to our general plan in the way that the tables are set up, which we're trying to use, kind of keep a theme going so that people don't have to learn different ways of looking at tables and different ways of expression. So this is an example of a diagram, an example of a building placement district framework. So that's kind of what we're trying to do here with this. And so this slide is on the base and the overlay districts, and this list breaks down what we have right now for our base and overlay districts. The module will go into more detail about all of those districts: residential, commercial, business park, industrial, agriculture, airport, so your typical districts that are called for in our general plan, as well as just make sense for good regulations.
Chair Daniels.
Commissioner.
I have a question.
Yes.
What constitutes a district? What constitutes, what criteria go into saying we want to establish this category as a district?
Look, the general plan drives the requirement for a lot of these districts. Districts and overlays are also tools that we can use for developing the regulations. Jennifer, you might want to expand on that.
So a zoning district follows the, not necessarily completely, but follows the land use map, future land uses on our general plan land use map. Organizing the districts under those land use categories enables us to derive a specific requirements for development within those districts. So right now, as an example, we have the Research Park District, the MRP District, and that lays out requirements for setbacks, heights, parking, all of those different things that are appropriate to those types of uses in this area. Next door, we have a commercial zone that those might require more parking because we expect more people to come than just employees, or the heights could be bigger because it's in a particular location that might be more functional. It allows, the district concept allows us to organize the development standards that guides development within those districts, which is then consistent with the land use map uses.
So a district helps you to develop specific requirements for areas that have special needs.
Yes.
So for instance, there is an area within 500 feet of Highway 101 mm-hmm. that there's a special requirements if you're going to put any kind of development in there
right.
that you have to go through. So would that lend itself to its own district?
No, that wouldn't necessarily be a district. That would be more of an overlay.
So that would be an overlay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner, let me try to say this one way. And the districts are really base zones, right? They're base zones. So, you know, we have industrial, we have agricultural, we have residential. They're all the base zones.
The reason I ask that question is that if you could take a ruler and draw a line within 500 feet of 101 on both sides of 101 all the way through the city of Goleta, and you could turn that into a base zone with a piece of pencil and a ruler, and then you could establish your requirements for development within that zone, any limitations that you wanted to do to protect human health. So to me, I, you know, and maybe I need more education on what an overlay is, But to me, the whole idea of district would lend itself to that type of approach as well.
Well, and just to give clarification, the overlay would do that, lay restrictions on top of the base districts. So that's the difference with the overlay. The district is the base zoning. The overlay is anything special that the special needs, I think, is more appropriate there. For example, we have all of these commercial and industrial districts around the airport currently. The airport overlay keeps heights and wherever that overlay is at a particular level and restricts what can be built there in order to function with the airport.
That's clear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, as we were talking about this, it's a sort of hierarchical, and in that the overlays are broader than the districts, and the districts may not look familiar because they're different than our current districts, because our current districts don't line up with our general plan. The districts that you've seen up on the screen do line up with our general plan, so they're named differently. And maybe not quite so many districts, because the districts that we had before were from the county, and they broke things out differently, and they were they needed more because they have more area, more acreage of property to regulate. So there's fewer districts and fewer overlays, and the wording is different, so it looks unfamiliar.
And this is definitely where we will need to show you what do we have now and what are we going to have in the future. So you can see how the districts that we have now might either be consolidated or expanded to match our future land use map.
So Module 2 will be going into the more specific use regulations, use classifications versus the lists. We'll be talking about tiering off of permitted uses and specific standards. We'll be talking about conditional uses, administrative use permits that would be subject to specific standards, but we'll be talking about those with specifics. So this is just general that we're here showing you on the screen, but we will actually be showing you what those are, and I have a slide that kind of demonstrates that. And tables will be used. So I'm just going to jump to the slide. So here's a land use regulation example for a commercial district. If you looked in the general plan and the land use element, you'll see a similar table with a similar format. So again, we're trying to keep the abbreviations the same and keep the format somewhat the same as much as that we can. And so this is kind of how we're breaking out regulations by this particular district. What's permitted, what's allowed as under an administrative permit, what uses are not allowed. So that kind of detail that I think is going to be important to all of you and the public. And we'll also be talking about building development standards and using that same kind of tabular and visual format. For example, we're going to be talking about heights and by type. So you can see in this example, there's heights for the first floor ceiling. There's building massing standards with the very specifics in it. So we're not talking general terms anymore. When you get Module 2, you're going to get the detail, I think, that you've been waiting for and the public's been waiting for. So a lot to come here, but we wanted to just show you what to prepare you for what to expect visually. And we think that the way the format is really helpful and a little more progressive to what other jurisdictions are doing, but also just more tried and true and helpful. And here's an example of site development standards. This is a parking example. So again, you have a graphic and you have a table. So you take the table and you take the picture and you get a number and you can go down to your table as a reference and go specifically over to, what turning radius and how far is the building or the parking spot from the edge of the building, for example. So you're getting your specifics that way. There still will, this will all be written out too, so it's not going to be just tables and pictures. It'll be, there'll be a lot of words that go along with it, but you don't necessarily have to read all the words after this new zoning regulation is finished. You can use these kind of tools that make it so much easier. And that was it on the preview. I hope that makes sure that you all come on April 28th. And as far as kind of where we're at is on the screen, you can see April 7th, 2014. That's where we're at in between modules. So we still have a lot of work left to do. And so in the next couple of months, in particular with Module 2 and Module 3, we have some interesting conversations to have before we get a draft ordinance together to release all together as one complete package. And that concludes the presentation, unless Ms. Carmen has something to add.
Nope, not at this time.
Thank you, Mrs. Wells.
Chair Daniels, a quick question.
Commissioner.
We were talking a little bit earlier about the city's website and navigability, and I'm envisioning that this zoning code will also be online. And so is the, I guess, is there going to be some discussion or anything about how it would be navigated online?
Well, once the ordinance is codified, that's when it's actually put into our municipal code. That format is pretty much set, and it's a standard, chapter and section list. The graphics are in there. It's actually very navigable with the new graphics, and it's easy to move around in that. If, and this is a big if, there is such a thing called an interactive zoning code that can be built, and it actually functions more as a kind of an interactive booklet online. That costs a significant additional amount to do, which if we could find some grant funds after the adoption, I would love to do that for the community. But either way, I think it's very easy to use. Even when it's codified into our normal Muni code, there are links back and forth, so you can move through the document very easily. It's a learning process. It's going to take a while for everyone to get used to it, especially those who are used to the county ordinance now. But I think, you know, as you move through it, the graphics make such a difference, and the tables make such a difference just as far as access. It's a lot easier to read.
So it just, I'm sorry, one further question about it. So would it include something like rollover definition so that as you mouse over words that you don't have to go searching for a glossary?
In our codified version, no, but in the interactive version, yes. So it will take some time before we'll have that available. But, you know, who knows what kind of funding we might have left over from the project that we could use. I'm not really sure, but that is a desire of staff to get something like that done.
Thank you, Ms. Carmen. Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Wells, is there anything else?
That's it for tonight, except for I just wanted to point out the slide that's up right now that's advertising GLEDAZoning.com as our way of reaching out to the public.
Yes.
And
good.
Just so that you know and the public knows, before this meeting, we sent the slides to our consultant who's keeping the website updated. So we're trying to get these PowerPoint slides out to people before the meeting to make it easier for them if they're listening or if they're watching or they want to see what's happening so that they're up before the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. If nothing further, I'm going to open up the public hearing. The public hearing is now open, 7:11. I have one green slip. Nobody else wants to talk? All right. Ms. Massey, welcome.
Thank you very much. Would it be possible to have just a smidge more than 3 minutes?
Please do.
I have it as condensed as I can, and I'm not trying to give you a lot of garbage. I hope that everything will be done to ensure that there is maximum public noticing on all sections of the zoning code. The zoning administrator is given too much authority without public review. The zoning administrator should not be making decisions on administrative use permits, coastal development permits, design review, variances, or modifications. All of those sections should be revised to have the Planning Commission as a decision-making body with appeals to the City Council. The public wants the decisions made by elected and appointed bodies, not by staff. I've done some of this by page numbers of the Module 1. Page 10, there's a problem with developers presenting a summary of a, quote, voluntary neighborhood meeting at a public hearing. Having participated in the Bishop Ranch workshop, I know that the conclusions presented by the Bishop Ranch developer were not what the participants had indicated. Only statements favorable to the development were presented. The entire number 3 meeting summary should be removed. Page 12, 2D, there should be better notice than just a newspaper ad. Many people do not get the news press. Page 13, 4A, poster requirements should require that the sign be fade-proof, and if not, there should be weekly checks and have them replaced as needed. There are many posted signs out there right now that are blank due to the fading, which makes the signs a joke. 5, electronic notice should not be a substitute for mailed notice, nor should other means that are determined by the zoning administrator. This is a community with many seniors who don't use a computer, and they should not be denied notices. Page 17, modifications and amendments should be removed. All modifications should be a Planning Commission decision. Page 23, administrative use permit should be eliminated. Page 43, administrative coastal development permit should be removed. All coastal matters should be handled by the Planning Commission and the City Council. Emergency coastal development permits could be handled by the Planning Director. Page 48, the coastal zone is extremely important to Galitans, and noticing should be within 1,000 feet, but not less than 500 feet of the perimeter of the subject parcel. Page 50, waiver of public hearing should be eliminated. There should be no waiver of coastal development permit hearing process. Pages 58 through 63, the entire chapter on modification should be replaced by our current Section 35-321. The new modification section is not what we want for Goleta. If it is not replaced, then I have some suggestions for improving that. I'm getting low, so I'll skip those, but you do have a sheet that tells you what they are. The annual review, the Planning Department should keep a list of development agreements by month. A notice should be sent out 2 months prior to annual meeting date requesting to show compliance with the annual meeting, compliance by the annual meeting date. The city should not depend on self-regulation by developers. Mutual agreement. When it comes to development agreements, I don't think that any arrangements should be made just strictly with staff and the developer. Any changes to development agreements are more major than you would think, and we need somebody who really understands it from the public's point of view to do that. Under findings on both page 69 and 68, under 3, where it says, will promote the growth of the city in an orderly manner, it should be changed to be, will plan development in an ordinary in an orderly manner, sorry. Promoting growth is not what is wanted for Goleta. All general plan actions should be with a public hearing, and we should be sure that the section that says the Planning Commission shall not be required to hold a public hearing thereon should be removed. One final statement. My husband asked me what I really wanted in the zoning code, and I told him we wanted to take the current one, update it, and add new sections where necessary. What we want is a zoning code that has full public noticing and participation. We want all but very minor decisions made by the Planning Commission and the City Council, people who are directly responsible to the citizens and our citizens themselves. We want protection of our beaches and open space, our agriculture and history, and most of all, the quality of life that developers haven't completely stripped away yet. One thing I can say is that from everything I've seen of this new zoning code, this is not anywhere near what we want. Thank you.
Ms. Massey, thank you, and thank you for the detailed review. Anybody else at this time? Going once, going twice? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. Thank you. 7:17. This is back to the commission. I have a couple statements, but I'd like to hear from others first, if there are any.
Sure, I'll take a stab, Chair. I'd like to respond to some of Ms. Massey's comments, or maybe ask fellow commissioners here to comment as well on a couple things. I think this is extremely well, you know, obviously a lot of time was put into this, so I think we should at least... I'd like to address a few things in here. Obviously, the noticing...
Commissioner?
Yes.
I'm just thinking maybe it's better for staff to do this.
Okay. Well, these are things that I wanted to bring up anyway.
Okay.
So
please do. Please do.
One thing personally that I thought that is also in Ms. Massey's list here is this idea about noticing in the newspaper ads that if there were a newspaper that was read by most of our or all of our residents, I think that would be a great option, but there just isn't. So I think this is going to be a big challenge for staff as far as noticing, because, you know, people do get postcards and just throw them away, and that's not great either. So I'm just not seeing a really great option here. So I'm hoping that staff can blow our minds with some really great thing that no one's thought of yet. What are the chances of that on this? Are there other cities who have had some creative noticing that's worked that we know of at all?
It's actually more electronic than paper, and they've done different things with that. But I think, you know, in Goleta, we're going to need to keep that balance of paper and electronic in order to make sure that we cover as much as we can. And then we'll have to, when we start really talking about it, we're going to have to break down cost and make sure that folks know just how expensive it is to actually get those notices out. And just like with the postcards, you know, how many people read the bulk mail that they get at their house? I think it's a question that we need to explore maybe through surveys or something else to see really what most of the public wants to see.
Good. And then just one more quick question is... I understand, or one more quick comment is, I understand the desire of the public to have the Planning Commission looking at all of the projects, but when I heard the presentation tonight, I would like to personally say that I'd like to see things like fences and walls potentially go to the zoning administrator and be streamlined, because I'd like to see the time of the Planning Commission be spent on the study sessions, if possible. And I know it's a trade-off because we don't have unlimited time, and I think that would be a much better use of our time than looking at things like fences and walls that I feel should go to the zoning administrator. So those are my comments. I'll just stop there.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner?
I have a question about process. When we are going to go through this process, obviously when we get to Module 2 has a lot of meat to it. And there are going to be aspects of Module 2 that the public may feel uncomfortable with, or that there might be a debate over how that should be implemented. And yet there will probably be a lot of Module 2 that will just, you know, simply be, oh, yeah, that makes sense, and everybody will agree. And I wonder if you were thinking of a process of bifurcating and categorizing or putting in different buckets the stuff that everybody agrees with and the stuff that we need to work on. And that way we can focus our attention on the things where the community is in dispute rather than spend a whole lot of time on the things where the community is in agreement.
Yes, and that's how this process will move forward. When the staff report comes to you one day with a draft document, we're going to be talking about the touch points that we've heard, the big things, you know, what is still out there for the Planning Commission to really weigh in on and decide what they want to recommend. What are the issues that are still in debate? What do you want to say, you know what, we don't want to make a decision on this, council, you guys decide. Because it's a recommendation, but you may not be comfortable making a recommendation because it's still so two-sided of an issue. And we will be sending out that staff report like that. So it'll be more of a decision agenda as you can go through and knock stuff out. This one's fine, this one's fine, this one goes to council, let's make a decision on this today. And then you'll have something to recommend as a packet that would move forward.
You good? I've got a couple of things to say about Module 1, and I'm confused as if I should say them now or say them when Mr. Diet gets back the next time we meet.
It'll be passed on to Michael if you give us comments tonight.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. bear with me here. The first thing I just want to talk about is I understand we don't have the City Council, Planning Commission, mm-hmm. or Design Review yet. I understand that. I just am wondering when we're going to get that. And that really plays into the list that's in that was in our first package. And that list, the list talks about it's the appeal bodies and you know, who the decision makers are. And that's the one where I actually read about the variances and wasn't very happy about that. But so I know that that's going to be changed. But I can't opine on the design review because, you know, I haven't had the none of us have had the benefit of reading, you know, that particular section. So it's not going to do anybody any good to go through this at all tonight. Okay, I said that. While Ms. Massey talks about modifications, from my standpoint and similar to Commissioner West, I understand that what's happening here and probably will happen throughout the other discussions when we start to talk about design review and Planning Commission and City Council. There's this minor versus major, and minor is minor. It's 10% bigger, which is a very minor. It's an awning. It's a small wall, you know, 3.5 feet. It's things like that that really, you know, we don't want to see as Ms. West was talking about. So from that standpoint, that's why you see the modifications not all going to the Planning Commission, and there is some ability for the zoning administrator, who incidentally is the director of the planning the planning department,
or my designee.
Or her designee. So
and we have talked with Michael about making that the city manager's designee rather mm-hmm. than, because there were still some things in the document that would be the director's purview. Mm-hmm. And it really, there's usually, at least what I've seen in the past, the current one of the planning managers is usually the zoning administrator in a city this size.
Right.
But there's any variations mm-hmm. of where that could go.
Yeah, but we're not talking about first and second line staff mm-hmm. at this point. I mean, that's just not going to be the case here. Barbara, and I hope this gives you some comfort in how this might work. I can only try. I think this is my last one that I'm going to bring up tonight, and it's on page 48, and it probably starts on page 47. And clearly there's not much that a zoning administrator could probably do with respect to coastal development plans. This sentence is trying to figure out how to do that. And it talks about actions to approve, conditionally approve, or deny a CDP, coastal development permit, must be taken by the zoning administrator, planning commission, or city council, whichever has responsibility for the final approval. If no other discretionary approvals are required, the zoning administrator must act on the CDP application. Do you have any examples of when that might happen, Ms. Wells?
Once we get our local coastal plan approved or certified by the California Coastal Commission, we will be able to issue permits in the coastal zone, ministerial permits. Mm-hmm. But right now, there's limits to the ministerial permits that we can issue okay. because we don't have a LCP.
I understand. A little bit of discussion like that would have been helpful for me.
Got it.
Because that makes total sense. Okay. Well, I think I'm done with this right now. What you have proposed to us in Module 2, I think looks neat, if I can use that rough term. I look forward to seeing the rest of it. Yeah, so thank you for your time. Linda, what do we have? Director's report. Ms. Garman, please.
Yes, I can go ahead and jump in there. April 21st is your next Planning Commission meeting. It is a special meeting. Special meeting. We have so many this month that it's hard to keep track. You will be seeing Ms. Wells again for the Climate Action Plan on April 21st, if we're still on schedule for that. More than likely we will be here with that plan on April 21st. And if something does go wrong with that scheduling, we will let you know that you have a free Monday. After that, the April 28th meeting will be following with the Module 2. I will not be in attendance at that meeting, but I will be following up at the following date with another open house where I'm available to have a dialogue with the community members just like we did today, which I thought it was very beneficial to have them have an opportunity to ask questions if they didn't have enough time with Michael. And it gives two perspectives for the community, one from the technical and one to clarify intent and really where we're coming from with this code. And I think it's a good thing. And so we'll continue to do that through the process as we move forward.
Thank you. A quick follow-up here. The first time you did this with the Module 1, was it you and Mr. Diet?
No, it was just Michael.
It was just Michael?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was not. I was at a friend's wedding during that time.
I see. So. Well, because it dawns on me that, you know, the two of you would be a good mix and match.
Yeah, we will be joining forces come Module 3 and then for once the final draft is available through all of the additional public processes, mm-hmm. especially, you know, I discussed last time we were talking about doing a Saturday And we're trying to fit that into the schedule, and that will be Michael and myself, as well as Ms. Wells, really having some time with the community to talk about all the different issues. Once that draft document is all the modules are together in one piece, I think that's when the real conversation begins. The modules are the check-in, and I call it the gut check, but it's a check-in and see where how people are feeling about different options and tools. And then once the draft document is there, that's where the real discussion starts.
Okay, good. So. Good, thank you. Anything else?
That's it for me.
Thank you. Planning commissioners.
Chair, quick question. On the climate action plan on April 21st, does that relate to the zoning code? Is it standalone? What's the...
It doesn't relate to the zoning code per se. It's a standalone document. It may ultimately drive the need for new regulations, but it's the start of that.
Okay, great. Thank mm-hmm. you. Thank you, Chair. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments? 1, 2, 3, motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
I'll second that.
Vote, please.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Have a good night. Thank you.
Come on, mama needs daddy. Baby, won't you please come home?
Eyes of night and lips as bright as flame.